Yeah.
Does that suggest that before the game...
I was joking, mate.
You were just joking. I just wonder, because there's a pattern of before some of these games, there's lots of discussions and debates.
That's great. That's brilliant, mate. That's lovely. That's all right. That's what we love about the game, mate. That's, you know, you want, you know, like, I love it when you see two blokes arguing about football. You think they're going to kill each other, and then you go the next day and they're sitting at the same table arguing again, you know. So that's what we love about the game. It's a difference of opinion. It's a difference. I love that part of it. Like I said, before the City game, it'd be pretty boring, and I wouldn't be anywhere near as interested if everyone was just had the same opinion about something. So... you know, from my perspective, it's the fact that football does sort of give so many voices the opportunity to have an opinion about it. Now, it doesn't mean I have to listen to all of it or I believe everything about it. It's not sort of what I tap into, but, you know, I love the fact that, you know, football does bring discussion and debate to the table. So I've got no issue with it, and I treat it in equal measure. Even the so-called plaudits after it doesn't really affect me, but I love the fact that some people get excited by it and others think, no, it's a load of crap.
On opinions, the West Ham co-chair Karen Brady seems to have quite a high opinion of you. I don't know if you're aware, last season she wrote a column, she writes a column in the Sun newspaper, and it was like a love letter to you.
No, but
do you know Karen?
No, I don't. I've never met Karen, or I don't think I've ever come across her, but in many respects, wouldn't that make her fairly ahead of the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I reckon she's a pretty smart operator. But yeah, I'm not sure about the love letter stuff, mate. I mean, but no, look, I guess, you know, me kind of moving to Celtic kind of brought me closer to this part of the world. You know, I was aware that particularly, say, Celtic Rangers, everyone down here watches it, so it kind of gets into people's consciousness. But, you know, I guess if Karen noticed, then like I said, all credit to her. No, I mean, I wasn't immersed in it, but it's just, I mean, even the questioning I was getting here, and it wasn't anything unusual to me. It's about, you know, will you change your approach, and will that approach work? And I think there was a valid sort of backdrop to that Tottenham have had a fair bit of success playing a totally different way against it. And I thought that was great, because that, as I said, that those kind of things are the things that challenge my beliefs. Because, you know, when you kind of say, well, no, I understand that works, but I want to do it this way, because... ultimately, if I waver in that moment, then it makes me start thinking, okay, maybe I have to look at this a little bit differently. You know, going to Man City and trying to play like we want to play, maybe it's not a good idea, because this has worked in the past with Tottenham. So, and like I said, that's a valid discussion to have, you know, for many people. But I guess my point to that was, well, that's not me, though. And that's why I'm sitting here, because, you know, the end game was never... well, I don't think is about just beating Manchester City, because if that was the end game, then there wouldn't be the change that has happened here.
Yeah, I guess you're feeling a bit of vindication, or...
No, because vindication would mean that I'm trying to prove something. I'm not. I'm trying to win. That's what I'm trying to do, you know. And I don't waver on that because I want to prove a point. I just think this is the way forward, because this is what has worked for me my whole career. So there's a methodology I have, a belief I have that's got me to where I am today, and I believe we'll get Tottenham to where it needs to be. So along the way, if things work, I don't see that as a vindication. That's just me keeping doing it. If it's not working, then I just need to keep doing it, not trying to prove people wrong, if you know what I mean.
Tom.
Since that's out this morning, the teams are scoring way more goals
to that.
But why do you think that is? Why are teams scoring more goals?
takes about 20 minutes of extra game time every week, isn't there? So, it's an interesting one. If we did a goals per minute, would that work out? There's a stats freak out there who will bring it out for me. I don't know, but I do enjoy it, I've got to admit. I think we still are well short in that area. You know, it's still the area that I think we've got so much more upside in our front third to score more goals. You know, I really feel like, you know, apart from, like I said, there's some areas of we need to keep working on, but our front third stuff, I still think we've got so much more improvement to get to as a team. And we're seeing some of it at the moment. You know, I think, you know, Brennan and Decky Kulusevski are starting to get a bit more familiar with their roles. And I think, you know, Gio getting a couple of goals from midfield. But I just think it's an area we can certainly improve. But I think it's great. I think, you know, ultimately it's, you know, what people love about our game, you know, that release of when a team scores and the more goals you have, I think that the more exciting games sort of get. Yeah, look, I didn't have that specific sort of talk to him or anyone else. I think the players understand that. I mean, I think most players understand that. Some of it feel like, you know, what they've done in the past is enough to, which you know, that's fair enough as well. Or if they've come off a tough time, you know, they see it as an opportunity for some sort of redemption. But I think the only thing with Gio, I think, you know, I just wanted to make sure, not just him, but all those guys who, like I said, particularly maybe were on the periphery and uncertain about their future, was that I wasn't going to make any decision until they got a real good opportunity to show me what they could do and be part of it. And I sensed with him that that's all he wanted, you know, and he was prepared to sort of take whatever fallout there was from that, but he wanted a decent shot at it. And, you know, he was good through pre-season, and then obviously, I mean, I think the Fulham game was the second game of the year where he picked up the injury. That set him back. But he's been good the last two games, but the last sort of month for us in terms of training and what he's been delivering. And hopefully that gives him the confidence, because he's definitely, you know, he's definitely a talented player. You see how important he is to the Argentina national team. I know they're very close, and like I said, I think our dressing room, you know, right now is a pretty sort of united, albeit eclectic one, where there are some, you know, some differences in culture and music choice and all these other things, but they're a pretty united group, and they kind of integrate to, you know, with one another really well. But there's no doubt, you know, Romero is a big influence over the, you know, some of the guys that sort of are closest to him, and Gio's certainly one of that. But Gio's his own man. He's, you know, he's an experienced player. He knows what he wants out of his career, and, you know, he senses there's an opportunity now for him here, and he wants to make the most of it. And I mean, that's great for us, because with, you know, with Matters out, you know, he was going to be difficult to replace in terms of, and I don't think, you know, Gio's like for like, but Matters was providing goals and assists, and you kind of go, well, we need that, whoever comes in. And the fact that he's scored a couple of goals and he's been involved in a couple of goals has been great for us.
Matt and then John, please.
Does Kulusevski prefer playing in that central role?
I don't give them surveys, mate, and ask them. I think he has played there earlier in his career, but, you know, I think, I always think that if there is players who can sort of do that, it's great for them to just experience that for a little bit. It gives them a different perspective again. And then when they go back out wide, or their, I don't know if it's his preferred position, I'm not sure which his preferred position is, it kind of frees them up a little bit. They see the game a little bit differently. It's a bit like sort of Sonny going to the central role. If I put him back out the left wing, you'd have a different, again, perspective. So I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Something about the real Decky, which
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I like him out wide. I think what he delivers out wide, and yeah, there's still areas we're really pushing him. I think he can be a much bigger goal threat than, and we're pushing him really hard in those areas. But yeah, just his general sort of energy and work rate, and his ability to break lines with his running is, I think, is probably, I think, more suited in my system to playing out wide. But watching him playing, you know, centrally the last couple of games, he's very, very effective in there, and certainly an option for us.
John.
Again, it's not something I kind of discuss with Hugo, but he's part of the first team. He's been here, he trains hard every day. He's a big, you know, I think the goalkeeping sort of unit, fraternity, whatever you want to call them, it's really a good environment. And whilst Hugo obviously hasn't been playing, hasn't been part of the first team, it hasn't sort of changed his, you know, demeanour or the way he comes in every day. He's very professional. You know, it's great for the other keepers to sort of have him there as somebody with great experience. But, you know, Stace Seagood is in the last year of his contract. Well, it's in the last 6 months now, and I'm sure he'll be thinking about his future and what he does sort of next step. But it's not something I'm sort of too focused on. I'm delighted we've signed Fraser on for another year. I think I've said numerous occasions in public that his training is just elite level, you know, so... You know, I still think he's a Premier League standard goalkeeper, absolutely. But as often in most cases, you know, in squads, it's the guys who maybe aren't playing regularly that can sometimes, you know, affect the mood of the whole group. And if you've got a guy like him who's not playing regularly, that's training the house down every day, it's a hell of an example to everyone else. And yeah, delighted to sort of have him on board for at least another year. Hopefully longer beyond that. Well, it's not my decision. That's a decision for Hugo, the club. It's not. I don't have that power. I never want that power. My role is to, you know, Hugo is a member of this squad, and you know, how he trains every day is important to me, how he presents himself. Because if he wasn't, then I'd be dealing with it. But I haven't had to, because he's been absolutely first class in everything he's done. So, and again, as a manager, I don't take that for granted, because that could be a problem for me. You know, like most managers, it's the ones who aren't playing sometimes that give you the biggest headaches. And he hasn't given me any cause of concern with his approach, his application or anything like that. But, you know, it's his career. It's his sort of decision to make beyond that. It's not something that I would get involved with. I don't know, mate. I've lost five defenders, and I could lose seven goalkeepers. I don't know, mate. You know, it's not. It's why I do treat everyone the same, because you don't know. You know, he's a member of this team. He's a member of the squad, and you know, you don't know what's down around the corner. And it's the way you treat people when they're not involved that will come back to bite you if you need them one day.
Okay, last couple, Darren, and then finish with Dan, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been fortunate. I've worked with some good ones, but he's, look, irrespective of me, take me out of the equation. I think he's elite in every sort of aspect of it, you know, attacking players who've played in the Premier League. I'd be very surprised if by the time he's finished, which is well down the track, if he's not up there as one of the outstanding strikers. Because don't forget, a lot of his career's played out wide, but he's been a goal threat the whole time. Now I'm putting him inside, and he's got 9 goals already for the year. I think he's leading goal scorer for offside goals as well. So he's been outstanding, and I knew that before I got here, but yeah, just working with him every day and the example he sets as a person as much as a footballer is just outstanding, you know. And yeah, even that's inspiring for me, you know, when you see a person who you know, for all intents and purposes, has climbed the mountain many times in terms of his own football pedigree, that, you know, every day he loves what he does, and every day he feels it's a blessing, and every day that rubs off on other people, and then he plays the game like that. You know, he runs around like he's a kid, you know, literally, you know, just chasing balls down. And, you know, like I said, to me, that still inspires me, and, you know, feel very grateful to be working with him. Yeah. Well, that is the sort of definition of leadership is, you know, what do you do when the chips are down, when things aren't going well, you know, because everyone invariably looks there, you know, that they look at your leaders, what are your leaders doing? And, you know, I think he just got this thing in his head that whatever they say about me, good, bad or otherwise, I'm not going to stop running through this period. And that has an effect on people. It does, because a lot of that running is without reward. You know, he doesn't get a reward for just chasing the ball down. But if your leader, you know, and your best player is doing that, then me as a teammate, well, I can't not do it. I just cannot. I have to follow that lead, you know. And through this period, we've had to sort of dig deep. And we're still, like I said, we're still not out of it. We're still going through it. He's been a force in showing us the way forward. Yeah, he will be. He'll be a very important part of what we're building. And but that doesn't mean, you know, we wouldn't sign another striker, because I think even Sonny would demand it of me. If you're going to build a team that's going to win things, you know, I've always found your best players want more good players in the building. You know, they're not comfortable. They don't want to be comfortable. They don't want to just be sitting there saying, well, I'm the man. They want to know that they're going to be surrounded by other players who are just as motivated for success. So... but there's no doubt that, you know, Sonny will be a big part of that. Outstanding, yeah. Yeah, it is, and again, that's not the only way, you know, the only road to success. I've seen other people who it's just about the winning, and you admire it so much, because I would find that, you know, so unrelenting, that pursuit of just the result, because you know a lot of times, particularly in football, the result is sometimes out of your hands. You know, you could do everything right and still lose a game. And I would find that really hard to deal with, whereas my pursuit is about trying to play a certain way that will get us the result. And I find that, okay, if we played well and we haven't got the result, I get some sort of small comfort from that, you know. So it's just a different approach, but it doesn't mean there's a right or wrong way. It's just the road to success. But again, you know, yeah, to be honest, I thought the second goal was more, because, you know, part of what we want to do was press, you know, the best footballing side in the world aggressively, you know. And when GA scored his second goal, we were on the halfway line pressing them, trying to win the ball. That meant, you know, Ben's man-on-man with Haaland, and our fullbacks are man-on-man with their wingers. And that's part of it as well. It's not just what we do with the ball, it's what we do without the ball. You know, taking that approach and... you know, that, like I said, when you go into a game like that and that's your kind of what you want to do, if you come out of it, what you want is to give the players something, show them something, to say, look, you did it. This is not just words. This is not just an idea. You did it. And it may have only been for small parts of the game, but if you can do it for small parts, our challenge is now, can we extend that to bigger areas? Whereas if you never even try it, you never know. You don't know if you can do it or not. So if we change my approach for the Man City game, that's where I would have lost. I wouldn't have got any opportunity to give that feedback to the players. So, you know, from that perspective, we got a lot of good sort of information out of that game, good and bad, like areas where we really struggled, but some, you know, I explained it to the other coaches is, you know, like when you're paying for gold, there's a lot of dirt there, but you're just looking for that little speck. And we got quite a few specks of gold that I could show the players after the game and say, you know what, if we keep digging here, there's, we'll get some nuggets eventually.
Okay. Oh, Dan, do you want to finish?
I can't believe I said that, sorry.
12 o'clock tomorrow.